Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the Fantasy Flex. No Brad today, but don't worry. We've got Tyler Gunther from the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast to discuss some rookies. Also, we'll bring in Mark Morales-Smith, writer from Scout Fantasy, to give us his take on Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins. Stay tuned. What's up, everyone? Nate here, flying without my co-pilot Brad Wallace today. As always, you can find me on Twitter at @Miller_RotoDad or follow the show at Fantasy Flex Pod. Before we bring on our first guest, let me give you all some info on the all-new FanUp Network app. The guys over there have created a fantasy football resource that not only tracks teams and scores across multiple platforms, but also provides the latest player updates and injury news, all while saving you time. The app can be found for Google and Apple devices by simply searching keyword FanUp. That's FANUP. Now, let's get Dynasty Happy Hour's Tyler Gunther in here. Tyler, I do believe it's the middle of the 6-week warm season in Minnesota, right?
Yes, that is actually factually correct. It is steaming hot. The humidity is crazy right now. But, yeah, I mean, it's been nice. But winter should be here probably in 3 days, I'm guessing.
Well, I was there last Labor Day. My in-laws are from there. Visited twice, both times in the late summer, and I've kind of been disappointed. 90 degrees plus, and I sweated my ass off like I was back in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, when summer hits, it hits, and it hits hard. It's like a safety coming in on a blitz. I mean, it hits you right in the chin.
Well, we'll be in summer until Thanksgiving here in Georgia, thank you.
Yeah, here it'll probably be getting down to the 50s or so.
All right. Well, let's talk some football. Specifically rookies. You're more of a dynasty guy, and I'm going to tell you, I'm kind of new to the whole dynasty thing, but I was driven into it by a decision completely out of my control or anyone else's. The NCAA agreed with DFS sites FanDuel and DraftKings to dispose of college football DFS. I'm fairly bitter about that. So now I'm like, I'm going to get involved in some dynasty football. You're in Minnesota. Adrian Peterson, I believe he still runs that offense there. He's going to be the feature probably for another year or two, but he's not getting younger. Tell us about the guy your hometown Vikings took in the first round out of Ole Miss, receiver Laquon Treadwell. What is he going to do this first season, and what's his prospects for the future?
Yes, we like to call him up here LaGod because he is our Lord and Savior. He is going to help our receiving corps so much. I mean, you got Stephon Diggs on the other side. He obviously was not a true number one, as you could tell throughout the year. I mean, once coverage started shifting to him, he struggled. He's a great number two, but Laquon Treadwell is the typical build for a wide receiver one at 6'2", 220. I mean, this guy's ripped. His arms are bigger than my legs. I mean, he is a monster. Now, the issues he had coming out of college was he didn't have the metrics, and us dynasty folks were kind of into that metrics and if they will actually succeed in the NFL, that metrics are a big part of that. But Laquon Treadwell is a football player. He is that Dez Bryant type, not super flashy, but he gets the job done. He's a touchdown maker. He had 5 touchdowns as a true freshman, and then he only played 9 games in 2014 because he got hurt with that gruesome ankle injury. It was ugly. If you haven't seen it, check it out if your stomach can handle that. But then
sure.
In 2015, coming back from injury, he had 11 touchdowns. He had 1,100 yards. I mean, he was the offense in Ole Miss. And a lot of people are saying, oh, his metrics are bad. But I feel like he's a lot like Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin had a terrible combine, if you guys can remember that. Coming out of Florida State, he was slow. He had a terrible combine. Anquan Boldin had one of the best rookie years I can actually remember. And if Treadwell can produce like that year one, I mean, yes, please and thank you. I will take that every day of the week.
Yeah, and I'm an ACC guy down here in the middle of college football country, Atlanta, Georgia. 20 minutes down the road is the new college football Hall of Fame. If you're ever down here, definitely check that out. I definitely remember Anquan Boldin being an ACC guy. My Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets could not defeat Florida State when he was there. That dude was such an athlete, he even played QB. But, yeah, my typical co-host here on the Flex, Brad Wallace, he's a UGA alum, so he's definitely into these SEC guys. Laquon Treadwell playing for Ole Miss in that SEC, I saw him plenty. He's a monster waiting to happen. But what do you say? I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, I'm kind of big on him. I don't know what his ceiling really is as an NFL quarterback. I don't think we're going to see until Adrian Peterson really starts that regression and eventual retirement. But will Bridgewater kind of limit Treadwell, or can the two mesh and become quite a tandem?
Well, first of all, with you guys being in Georgia, I do have to say Atlanta Falcons are my team. So I feel like we got a connection there.
All right.
but now, back to the question. Teddy Bridgewater is better than people think. Now, AP is in the backfield, and that limits Bridgewater probably 1,000% because AP is getting everything. But Bridgewater, we have a nickname for him up here, and it's Two-Minute Teddy. And he is great in the two-minute warning. And if Norv says, hey, go under shotgun, we're going to put McKinnon back there with you. Teddy is great. Watch the last 2 minutes of games when they're down. Teddy is amazing. He's perfect. He's accurate. And he still throws down the field when he's given that ability. But, and also, if you think about it, Teddy has not had a receiver like Treadwell. And in the Pro Bowl, Teddy and Allen Robinson had a special connection in the Pro Bowl. I mean, Allen Robinson had 2 touchdowns just from Teddy, and Teddy threw it deep. I mean, he had a, 60-plus yard bomb to Allen Robinson in the Pro Bowl. You give Teddy a weapon like Treadwell, they'll both get better. They'll both make each other better. So, yeah, I'm very high on Teddy still. I think he's going to be the best quarterback out of that class. You know, Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, not really anything to hoot and holler about, but I do think he will end up being the best quarterback out of that class with David Carr.
I tend to agree with that. I mean, you mean Derek Carr, not David, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I get those two mixed up.
everyone does. I mean, the little brother there, 10 years younger, he's already outplayed his older brother. But, you know, that's a conversation for a different day. I really thought Bridgewater was going to become at least a one-game playoff winner last year. I'm no Seahawks hater, but let's be honest, that was excruciating to watch. I'm going to go ahead and take a jab at my typical co-host since he's not here. Blair Walsh went to the University of Georgia, so I'm going to leave that there.
Also the laces were in, so he gets a pass.
All right. Well, Treadwell, so we're in agreement. We're high on him. Let's move on to another receiver in Tennessee. They're probably going to be a run-heavy offense as well. But Mariota, he's going to develop, start tossing the ball around a little more. They've got Kendall Wright. I guess he's okay. They've got a Harry Douglas veteran. I mean, Dorial Green-Beckham, I'm not really a believer in him. But they took a guy who's kind of flying under the radar, and I'm big on him. We talked about him in our AFC South preview a couple of weeks ago. Tajae Sharpe, how do you see this guy? I kind of think he could emerge as a number one as soon as this year, but will that matter in what's probably going to be a run-heavy offense?
Yeah, Tajae Sharpe is an interesting case because Tennessee did just sign and gave pretty good money to Rishad Matthews, and he's out of Miami. He had a good year. But Sharp is the prototypical possession receiver. He came out of UMass, which is kind of a lower college rank. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. He's very skinny. He needs to put on that, you know, man weight. He needs to eat a sandwich or two. But in the metrics community, everybody's so worried about these hand sizes in the combine. He had small hands, but he catches everything. So he's one of those players that, yeah, he may have smaller hands, but he's got good hands. He had 111 catches this past year, which was great. I mean, the offense ran through him, but still 111 catches is nothing to, you know, look down upon. He's a good route runner on a Tennessee depth chart that needs production. And I think he could help out late in the year this year, but it might take him a year or two to actually fully transition into the NFL talent-wise, like going against the best talent other than a lower division talent in NCAA. But yeah, I like him. In dynasty rookie drafts, you're looking at an early third, late third, and I think he could be a steal there.
Well, since I'm going to be playing in your Dynasty Happy Hours listener league, yeah, he was a guy I had in mind, and you just told me where to pick him. I'm thanks for that.
No problem.
Let's move on to another one. This guy's a wide receiver turned tight end, and I think it's easy to see why. 6'6", 250 pounds, another fourth-round pick. The Rams, which I'm not sure it even matters who's that receiver or tight end. They're probably going to run about 50 times a game. But Tyler Higbee, another small college guy, but I'm big on him, and I think he could emerge this season.
He's got a great first name. I mean, that's a great start. But other than that, he reminds me so much of Travis Kelce. You watch his tape, he is a Travis Kelce clone, and that's a good thing, especially in the Rams offense that has nothing. And Kelce's great for Kansas City because they also have Macklin, Jamaal Charles, then him, then nothing. So I could actually see Higbee producing year one, which is rare for rookie receivers. It usually takes 3 years for them to produce. But Higbee could be a special case. And he had 8 touchdowns his senior year, which was a huge jump from his last two, which I think he had a total of 5 in the last 2 years in his sophomore junior year, because I don't think he played his freshman year. But other than that, watch the tape. He's Travis Kelce, you know, 2.0. He's a great buy. And if you're looking for him in dynasty drafts, he's actually falling, and he's falling into that late third, fourth round, unless, you know, it's a tight end premium league with 1.5 points per catch for tight ends. Then he rises up. But yeah, he's a great buy in dynasty too. I like him. I have him in a bunch of dynasty leagues. So yeah.
Yeah, and there was a stat I quoted on him when we did our NFC West preview. This guy, pretty sure it was over the last 2 years combined, he had 55 targets or 55 balls, which he touched, and he only dropped 2. I mean, that's about as sure-handed as it gets. Ty, we're running short on time here, but give us one or two guys you have in mind that people might be overlooking that came in this year's draft, or hell, even undrafted free agents that might contribute this year or might be good targets as you know, down the road picks you can stash now.
Well, a guy that I have everywhere is actually Josh Ferguson. You look at Indianapolis Colts backfield, and it's Frank Gore and Bus. Robert Turman just got busted for having weed. So the job's Josh Ferguson to lose. He's an undrafted free agent. The Colts actually stated they wanted to take him in the earliest third round in the NFL draft. And they actually got him as an undrafted free agent, which is nuts. I watched him during, I think it was either East-West Shrine Game or the Senior Bowl, and he was eye-popping. Like, he was a poor man's Giovanni Bernard. So I like him late on in rookie drafts. And another guy, my other host, Chris Whitman, and I are very high on DeAndre Washington for Oakland. I'm not high on Latavius, and that Oakland line is fantastic. So I think he could actually see playing time very soon, maybe as a third down back. He's got good hands out of the backfield. He had 41 catches, 385 yards, and 2 touchdowns last year. And that's to go along with his rushing, which he had 233 rushes, 1,492 yards, and 14 touchdowns. This guy reminds me of MJD. I know I don't want to give him that praise yet because he's unproven, but he's legit. I mean, in my notes right here, I have literally the first word is legit, exclamation point. And I can actually see him being the second leading rookie rusher behind Elliott for rookies at the end of the year.
Wow, wow. High praise, and you're definitely a believer. Well, Tyler, thanks for doing this, man.
No, thank you. It was a pleasure coming on.
All right, really appreciate it. Enjoy that cold season in Minnesota this year.
Oh, I'll enjoy it. Good luck in the listener league.
All right. Okay, everyone, definitely looking forward myself to taking part in that Dynasty Happy Hour Listening League. That man knows his NFL rookies. Everybody be sure to hit up Tyler on Twitter at Tyler_NFL. Also, find their show's Twitter feed at DynastyHHPod. Now, to transition into a more known quantity at the NFL level, our next guest, unlike my typical partner here on the Flex, sees a quarterback down in South Florida very similarly to the way I personally do.
Hey,
Mr. Mark
man?
Morales. All right, man. Over in a recent article at Scout Fantasy, you, Mr. Mark Morales Smith, named five players who you believe will exceed expectations in 2016. Tell us why Dolphins QB Ryan Tannehill was at the top of that list.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I love his receivers. Jarvis Landry is developing into one of the best receivers in the game. Right up there. Right now, I could say in his class, you may be able to put him in the top five ahead of Sammy Watkins, ahead of Mike Evans. And then Devontae Parker, I had ranked 1B to Amari Cooper's 1A last year. You know, unfortunately, he got hurt and his foot acted up, but he came on strong late in the year. And then Kenny Stills, I'm not high on. I don't really. He's another Mike Wallace. Tannehill's not throwing the deep ball well, so I don't count on him much, but Leonte Carew from Rutgers is one of the three best receivers in this draft. And he's dropped two passes in the last 2 years, two catchable balls. He runs great routes. He's fast. He just flew under the radar because he had a domestic violence incident. And then the key to everything, though, is the offensive line. Since he's been in the league, he's the most sacked quarterback of any quarterback in the league. If Laramie Tunzel and Jermon Bushrod and those guys can shore up the guard position, they have one of the best centers in the league. They're good at tackle with Albert and James. So I think it really comes down to they have to protect him. And if they do, he should be good. He didn't really take much of a step back last year. He threw the same amount of interceptions, three fewer touchdowns, a little less than 200 more yards. It's just he didn't take that step forward everyone had hoped he'd take. I think the expectations are what hurt him.
Yeah, and I was just about to hit on that. You led right into it. This is a guy with a 29-35 record starting all 16 games each of his first 4 years for Miami. I think that record, his inconsistency sometimes, I believe his real-life results are clouding what he can do as a fantasy QB. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree. And I also think the new coaching staff will make a huge difference too. Philbin and them clearly had no idea what they were doing. Joe Philbin and Lazor.
Yeah.
And what Gase does is he will mask the quarterback's deficiencies. We saw it with Manning. We saw it with Cutler. So he's not going to sit there and try to force Tannehill to throw the ball downfield. He's going to set it up. And he has these receivers. And the whole team is set up perfectly around Tannehill right now with his supporting cast. Then you got Ajayi too, who's a great pass catcher out of the backfield, great short yardage back, who I think could be an elite back in this league. So I think everything.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
I don't know. He didn't take a huge step back last year, and everyone acts like, oh, he was terrible.
Yeah, I'm definitely following with you. I mean, my co-host on the show, as I alluded to earlier, he disagrees with me as well. He wants no part of Tannehill, even in some deeper leagues. I told him I kind of see Tannehill in that 15 to 18 range going into the season, and I definitely see some top 12 upside. It's, considering the average league, the standard format is about 12 teams. Do you see Ryan Tannehill as being a top 12 quarterback, making him a number one in a standard league?
Well, I agree with you. I would take him around 15, but I think he definitely has. I mean, he's only a year removed from being, what was he, top 10 2 years ago?
Sure, over 4,000 yards each of the last 2 years. I mean,
yeah, he's not throwing a ton of interceptions. He could easily hit 30 touchdowns. He runs the ball well when they let him. And, I mean, he's still developing. He was drafted. I feel like there's no patience in the NFL anymore. He was drafted as a project. He was a wide receiver for half his time in college, was drafted as a project, ended up starting right away. And people, like, we've seen this with other quarterbacks. Look how long. Drew Brees was so bad that they drafted Phillip Rivers, which was essentially the first overall pick. And then,
are you going to compare Tannehill to Brees, though? I mean, are you willing to go that far?
No, I'm not comparing his fantasy value or his talent. I'm just saying it takes quarterbacks time to develop. They used to always, Rodgers sat on the bench forever. People used to always sit on the bench. They take time to develop. Carson Palmer, but some people don't have that, and they expect them to be great right away because there's no patience in the NFL anymore.
Oh, I definitely hear you. I'm just taking a slight jab there. But this guy, yeah, he was drafted eighth overall and thrown right to the fire. I mean, you've hit all over it. He's not exactly put with the best coaching staff. I mean, how many coaches has he had in 4 years in the league and constantly revolving with the makeup of his offense and his weapons? Moving on from Tannehill, you alluded to brought up Jay Ajayi there. And I really don't know what to make of this guy. I'm willing to bet on him if it comes down to it in a draft as my number two RB. But what do you think the ceiling and maybe the floor on him is? I would caution simply because, and yes, it's a new coaching staff. This Dolphins team, I mean, Lamar Miller, he bolted because they did not use him. Do you say that similarly for Ajayi? Are they going to work him in there as a regular back?
No, Adam Gase runs the ball a lot more. He's been had a top 12 rushing attack, I think, for the past 3 years. And I think Ajayi is not quite there, but very close to Elliott in talent. Obviously, he's not in as great a place, not behind that Cowboys offensive line, but he's a better pass catcher. He's a better short yardage back. I mean, in both their final years of college, Ajayi went for – they went for almost the same amount of yards. They pulled on for like 1,820 yards. I think Ajayi scored 32 touchdowns where Elliott scored 23. And Ajayi caught about 50 passes for over 500 yards. And Elliott was right under 30 for 200 yards. And obviously it's different systems. There's no reason Ajayi can't be a number RB1. I wouldn't draft him as an RB1 because you don't have to when there's no reason to. But if you look at it, after about the top five backs, it's really anyone could be next.
Yeah, and he's not the only starting running back out of the Boise State up there in the cold Idaho weather that came down to Florida. And you know, maybe he can explode like a Doug Martin. Maybe that's a good comp. I mean, if that's his ceiling – somebody's going to be very happy with the value they potentially get on a Jay Ajayi. And you brought up Leonte Carew. That comes right into what my previous guest and I were talking about with under-the-radar rookies. You hit on him a good bit, but give us a ceiling on him. Can he become – I mean, I'm pretty sure Jarvis Landry is going to remain the number one there. But can Tannehill – how many wide receivers can he make relevant in a standard league? And will you gamble with Leonte Carew as maybe even a number three wide receiver going into the season?
I mean, I wouldn't draft him that high. Again, because you don't really need to. You can have him as – you could probably get him as like a wide receiver 5 or 6, I'd imagine, in most drafts, unless it's a dynasty draft. But, I mean, talent-wise, there's no reason why he can't be the best receiver in this draft class. prior to the draft, I did an article on the Fantasy Fix, and I ranked him number 3 behind Doxson and Treadwell. But he could easily be better. You look at him, there's nothing he doesn't do well. There's no glaring flaw in his game. Athletic, fast, great route runner, great hands. It's just he fell because he punched that girl in the face. And that's really the only reason why he wasn't a first-round pick.
Yeah, and if we can move beyond those personal problems, off-field issues. I mean, yeah, he's probably got a very bright career ahead of him. Tell us somebody that's really flying under the radar that nobody's talking about. I have my eye on a certain guy. Let's see if you come out with him just off the top of your head. Who in Miami is just no one talking about that they should be?
I hope you're not saying Jordan Cameron. I'm not with him. I'm off Jordan Cameron.
I'm done with him. I'm looking at running backs as well, behind Ajay.
Who, Kenyon Drake? The kid
that
from Alabama?
That may be. I've heard a little bit about him, but I don't think anybody's big on him. I mean, at least not who I'm listening to.
Well, he's taking Jarvis Landry's job as a punt returner and probably a kick returner. But I don't know if he's going to get the touches. He has some durability issues. He's smaller. He's fast, though. Like, he's a blur. He's quick. It's just I don't know how many touches he's going to get. He may have some PPR value. Like, he may come in and catch passes, I'd imagine, on third down. I'm just not sure if he's right now. I wouldn't, I don't think too much of him this year.
Yeah, and I'm down here in Atlanta in the South. This is SEC, ACC, college football country. I've seen plenty of Drake. Yeah, he was never the main guy in Alabama either, but he's a flat-out athletic freak, and he can fly. And they find ways to get him the ball. I mean, could he become – I mean, he's even a little bigger, but do you say a possible Darren Sproles type player?
I mean, that's exactly what they're hoping he's going to be. I just think he's going to be – he's going to be much more valuable to the Dolphins than he's going to be to fantasy owners.
Yeah, I hear that.
They have,
Mark,
they have that kid, Jakeem Grant, too, who can fly. Little guy.
Yeah, and out of Texas Tech. That's right. Mark, thanks so much for doing this, man.
No problem, man.
Yeah, give us a plug of where all you're writing for. I mean, you're kind of like making the rounds of fantasy sites out there. Give us a little take on what you got coming up.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. My main site is Scout Fantasy, and I'm on the Dolphin site on Scout 2. I'm writing with the Fantasy Fix, NFL Spin Zone. I was just featured on Snack Time Fantasy recently. I'm all over the place right now.
Very cool, man. Well, I'll definitely be on the outlook for you. I've been reading your stuff for a couple of years now, And, definitely wanted to get your take on Tannehill. Go ahead and my co-host will be listening on his trip. This guy's with me, Brad, as long as you're listening. Thanks
hopefully
so much, Mark. Have a good one.
Thanks, man.
All right. As always, please be sure to hit us up with any comments, criticisms, or questions on Twitter at Fantasy Flex Pod. Also, you can now check out the Fantasy Flex at your convenience on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, or our main feed at Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, I'm Nate.